Philippians chapter number 4. This is just where the Lord led me today, and trying to give you a little encouragement and try to give you something to encourage you this week. When you find your place, very familiar scripture, when you find your place, you stand. Probably every student of the Word, every born-again Christian knows these verses, but this is where the Lord has led me tonight. Amen? Can I get a witness right there? Somebody say amen. The Bible says in Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your modifications be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your mind through Christ Jesus. Father, Lord, in the name above every name, the wonderful name of thy Son, Jesus, we come to you tonight. God, we ask you as the psalmist prayed, God, would you open up the ears of heaven, and God, would you hear our cry tonight? And God, Lord, would you be merciful to us, Lord? We stand behind this sacred desk tonight, realizing tonight we're nothing and you're everything. And God, we ask you tonight, God, would you hide us behind the cross and under the blood? And God, would you give us that unction that we need, wisdom and knowledge to break the bread of life, that it will not return void? Lord, I pray tonight, God, you'd feed the sheep of thy pasture. God, if it's one here tonight not sure they're saved, hey, rejoicing in you. Lord, I pray tonight, asking you, dear God, Lord, would you commission the sweet Holy Ghost to reveal yourself to them? Father, all things that you do for us tonight, we'll be pleased to give you all the honor and the glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen, amen. You may be seated tonight. The great apostle Paul, he's a writing, by way of introduction, he's a writing to the church about A.D. 61. He's writing to a church that God allowed him to found on his second missionary trip. And Paul, writing to the church, the first church that was established on the European continent. And Paul is writing to them, and he's writing to encourage them. May I say by way of introduction tonight, you and I being born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior, you and I should be a help to one another. Amen. Hey, we should be an encouragement to one another. We should be one that could look at their brother and sister in Christ and know without a shadow of a doubt, what they're going through, what they're up against, what their needs and their desires are for their life. And it should be something that lives on the inside of us that can discern the spirits. The Bible says discern the spirits to see if the spirits are of God. To discern that spirit, and we could see without a shadow of a doubt what you and I could be used for, to try to encourage the children of God as we travel on this path God has placed us on. But we see Paul. Paul, you could say he's not in the best of circumstances. When we look and see where Paul is, may I report to you, Paul here, he's in a jail, he's in prison, he's on death row. Can I stop and can I tell you something of great importance tonight? Child of God, listen to me and listen to me well. You and I are on death row tonight. Honey, look here, we can enjoy this day, for it's the day the Lord has made. We should rejoice and be glad in it. We should be thankful today for each and every single thing that we've got to rejoice in. We should be grateful for God for the air and the oxygen that we believe. Look here, we should be thankful to God that He's allowed us to get up and come into this place tonight, that we can worship Him in spirit and truth. But can I report to you, it's very important tonight that we get a glimpse of what God in heaven has laid out before us and what He's bestowed upon us. Honey, the Bible says it's appointed man wants to die, and if after that the judgment. Can I tell you, you and I really tonight, though we're not locked up, though we're not in the prison, though we're not behind bars, honey, can I tell you, we really are on death row. We're going to leave here. We're going to leave here, and yet the great apostle Paul, in his time, knowing that he's on death row, he's taking what he's got, as I said this morning, and doing what he can to encourage God's people. It's a time in our life when we should rejoice. I'm rejoicing over salvation of this young lady. And guess what? She's standing here singing with her mother. Someone say amen. I think that's exciting. I don't know about you. When you get the right vision of God, when you get hooked up with God, understand that souls are important to God. That's what He died for. The rest of them are all benefits. Say amen.
Oh, but can I tell you, that excites me. Hey, when we got the report this morning, hey, Brother Lawrence, how about the ones getting saved at the prison? I rejoice with you. I rejoice for you. I want you to know, I want the name of Jesus Christ to be highly lifted up and highly exalted, because this thing is about souls getting saved. As a pastor, he stood behind this sacred desk tonight, and he has said, hey, God is moving. God is stirring. We see the evidence of what God's doing. It ought to make the redeemed of the Lord get up and shout for the glory of God. It ought to make God's people move. Oh, it ought to be a time in our life that we understand. Oh, we in this thing for Him and not ourselves. Someone say amen. Oh, Paul here, he finds himself in a position. Hey, look here, that at the church there at Philippi, and others did not understand. Paul, the founder of the church, the man of God, hey, the one that done all the great works because of Jesus Christ and His authority. They had seen God work through Paul. And now they see the very one that God worked through looking like he needed something from God. Got to be very careful. We got to be very, very careful how we carry and I present ourselves. Amen. We got to be very careful. Hey, here's Paul. Hey, it don't look good in the church's eyes. Hey, they're at Philippi. Hey, they may have had thoughts. They may have wondered. Hey, God allowed him to do all these great works, and yet the very one that he used looks like to me he's in a predicament. If we're not careful, we could be much like those who's serving God in that day and time. All they could see was the darkness. Are you listening to me? All they could see, hey, was the darkness of the situation, the difficulties that they thought Paul was going through. If we're not careful, you and I that's been born again, serving the Lord, hey, look, you're doing the very best we can. Hey, when hard times, when troubles, trials, and tribulations come by, and the devil tries to use that, hey, to put a stumbling block in front of, if you're not careful, we'll let the dark times and the situation become too difficult for us to handle. They looked at the great apostle Paul and they said, he's the one that founded the church. He is the prophet of God. He is the man of God. He is the one that could call on God and God would answer him. Now where's God at? He said, where's God at? Hey, Paul, hey, all he could see was the darkness of the situation, of the difficulty and the cruelty of the prison, of the place that he was located. You got to be careful where you put yourself in this walk. Got to be careful where you put yourself in this walk. He preached on identification this morning. Right. Can I tell you, the places that you go will identify who you are. So we see Paul, hey, look, you're in a place that some felt like, oh, listen to me, hey, it was a darkness. Hey, look, you're in, it was cruelty and the sadness that must have been in that place. Hey, the emotions of no joy. Can I tell you, most of the people that I meet traveling this country, they do not look like they have any joy in their souls. They're troubled. They're in valleys. They got their backs up against the wall. Can I say this and say it very kindly, because I want this box? You think I'm kidding? I really want this box. It works. Everybody else has got commentators. I got Doug. Woo! I'm going to get back in the message. I can see what some of you are looking at me. Oh, but can I tell you, hey, look at the places that I go. You know what? You see very little joy in people. I'm glad we hug each other. Say amen. Amen. I'm glad we tell each other we love each other. Somebody say amen. Can I tell you, you don't find that everywhere you go in this world. Oh, honey, if you could just go and you could hang with me 2 or 3 months, hey, you'd see why I act like I act when I come home. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Because people who claim to be born again, they're sad. And that's all they could see. The great apostle Paul, hey, they could see this darkness. They could see the cruelness of the place and the sadness and the hurtful of the treatment of the pain that he might go through. Are you with me? Say amen. Oh, but can I tell you, Paul said, for me to live. Paul said, if I'm with you, Jordan, or if I'm in the prison, or if I'm in a valley, if I got my back up against the wall, it don't make no difference where I'm at. For me to live is Christ. He said, ever what position that God puts me in is fine with me, because the same one that put me in this position has the power, he has the authority, he has the ability to get me out of the ever what position he's got me in and put me where he wants me. He said, for me to live is Christ, and for me to die is gain. Here, Paul, you would not think that Paul would have that same desire, Brother George, that he had when he was traveling and he was planting churches and he was preaching. You would not think the great apostle Paul would have that same energy, that same want to keep doing for God when they locked him up. Oh, but can I tell you, it did not change who Paul was. It's very important for you and I to not let circumstances and places, troubles and valleys, change who God really wants us to be. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, for me to die is gain. He said, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. Oh, can I tell you, Paul thought it was joy to be in prison for Christ. He counted it all joy. He didn't let his circumstances change his relationship with God. Church, we really don't need to let our feelings, our emotions, the evidence of things happening in our life change our relationship with God. Someone say amen. He said, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. I believe this, and I'll get through this very quickly. A whole lot of times I get hung up here. I'll try not tonight. I'm preaching for the box. I like to mess with him about that box. Amen. It's just been one of our things. Paul, I believe without a shadow of a doubt, I believe this, and I believe this, and it's very important that you and I grasp what I'm trying to say. I believe Paul could be who Paul was because it was some things that Paul did not forget. Paul did not forget the place where God found him. Now let me stop and say that. Hey, you never found God. You never found God. It was God who knew where you were. It was God that came to you. It was the same God that came to Paul on that Damascus road. Amen. Hey, Paul never got over that place. He never got over that place. Where God in heaven came to where he was at. Paul said, I can rejoice. He said, don't fret about me. He said, absent from the body is present with the Lord. He said, I'm hammered down, heaven bound, going to the house of glory. He said, I'm not backing up, slacking up, or shutting up, that I'm taking up. Somebody say amen. He said, I never got over the place where God found me at. Yeah. He said, the place I'm at now don't bother me so much because I really remember the place that means so much to me. Can I tell you something tonight? You and I maybe need to think back a little bit. We need to think back of what we were before we are what we is now. Somebody say amen. Oh, listen to me. Well, can I tell you, lost, undone, without God, on our way to a devil's hell. Look here, let me help you with the seed of thought. And then God had you, and he had me on his mind. Somebody say amen. They said when he was on the cross, JD was on his mind. When he was on the cross, you were on his mind. God knew the place that he was going to show up. Paul said, this place don't bother me so bad, because I remember the place that means so much to me. Paul said, where I'm at don't bother me too much. Because he said, you know, he said, on that place, he said, where God found me at, he says, I really felt the presence of God. He said, God showed up. He said, it was so real. He said, you know what God done for me? He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me, Saul? He said, not, it was so real that he called me by my name. He said, my little persecutions for God, the trouble I'm going through, hey, this prison I'm sitting in, hey, shout, shout, shout. Somebody say amen. He said, I remember the place. He said, I remember the presence of God showing up. And he said, let me help you with a seed of thought. He says, I never got over that power that came over me when Ananias took them scales off my eyes. He said, I never saw like I saw when them scales came off my eyes, when I really got the vision that God wanted me to see. The power, the moving of the sweet Holy Ghost of God. He says, I never got over that power. He said, that power gave me a purpose for my life. He said, this prison cell don't bother me too much. He said, it don't fret me too much. He said, I'm just going to shout while I'm down here. He said, because I got a purpose. He said, God didn't take away my purpose just because he changed my place. Sometimes we let our circumstances control what we do for God. Right up to our relationship, our communication. Someone say amen. And then we wonder what's wrong. You need to go back to that place. Someone say amen. He said that power that I felt gave me a purpose. He said that purpose. He said he gave me some promises. Can I tell you, we still got that King James Bible. It's got over 3,000 promises in it. We can stand on the word of God, stand it for sure. He says my words that we should hide in our heart, that we might not sin against God. Amen. Oh, he said, blessed is the man who walked not in the counsel of ungodly, nor standeth in the way, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Oh, but he shall. Somebody say amen in here. Oh, listen to me tonight. Oh, can I tell you? He said, standing on the promises of God. Are you listening to me? He said, God put me on a different path. Those that got saved today, then they got opportunity to walk down a new path. Listen to me. They got opportunity to walk down that new path. Paul said, I'll never get over when I learned that God commended his love toward us when I was yet a sinner. Christ died for me. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world, condemned the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth is not condemned, but he believeth not is condemned already, for he have not believed in the only begotten name of the Son. He said, it's some things that I've never, never got over. He's writing and he's trying to encourage the church. And oh, can I tell you something tonight? Look what he said in verse number 4. He said, rejoice in the Lord. He said, don't get your eyes on me too much. He said, continue to rejoice about the one that I told you about. The one that's supposed to live in your heart. The one that changed your very destination. Hey, the one that saved your soul from hell. He said, rejoice in the Lord. He said, I gave you a source to rejoice in. Oh, listen to me. Well, church, what happened to our source? People look at me and they think I'm about halfway of a nut, and I really am. I make no apologies. I'm saved. Somebody say amen. Listen to me. I'll never be still. I'll never shut up. Listen, are you with me? Shake your head. Amen. Oh, it's time for some of you to learn how to say amen and raise your hand and shout for the one that died for you. Because, see, he really is the only source you got to rejoice in. He says he's the source of our rejoicing. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. He just didn't give you your source. He gave you your season. Someone say amen. He said, all the time. Through the good days, shout. Through the rainy days, shout. When it's snowing, shout. Oh, when it's hard times, shout. He said, just rejoice in the Lord always. always. Oh, listen to me. It's time for us to come out from among them, beaten separate, and start shouting for the glory of the things of God. It's time for the church to stop being silent. It's time for us to raise our voices and praise God. Are you with me? Say amen. Oh, listen. Not only does it say, listen, look what he said. He said, and rejoice in the Lord always. And look what he says. He says, and again. Do you think Paul is serious about what he's writing? What's wrong with us? You could preach till your tongue falls out, and you can't arouse God's people. Someone say amen. If the staring and the power and the reading and the preaching. Pastor said something, racked my little brain this morning. He says, we're ambassadors. If you're not careful, we'll get to thinking about self as nothing. Someone say amen. We get to thinking about self as just being part, but not a big part. Come on, say amen. Can I tell you, you're important and I'm important to God. Amen. Oh, we stand up here with the infallible word of God. Hey, trying to feed the sheep of God's pasture. Keep them, to encourage them. To keep them moving on. Hey, to keep them stretching for God. He says, and again I say, rejoice. He stresses the importance. He gives you your source. He tells you your season. And he stresses how important it is that we rejoice. Someone say amen. Oh, I want to preach on this topic. Why are y'all looking at me that way? Y'all looking at me like a calf at a new gate. It's just 10 minutes after 7. I have nothing to do but go to the motel room. I enjoy being in your company. Amen. Somebody say amen. Oh, but can I tell you, we should rejoice. Hey, we should be celebrating as Christians because our sins are gone. Someone say amen. Hey, we ought to shout. We ought to praise God. When I stand before God, I'll not have to answer for no sin. Somebody say amen. And don't give you a green light to commit sin, because if you got enough of God in you, he'll convict you, keep you from sinning. Oh, but can I tell you, hey, we as God's children in the day and age that we're living in, we ought to be rejoicing in God because our sins is gone. As far as the east is from the west, from the steep of the sea of forgiveness, hey, never to be remembered by God. We ought to be thankful that God, he loved you and he loved me so much that we can shout because our sins are gone. Aren't you thankful your sins are gone? Do you understand how vile our sins was? They were so bad that God the Father had to take something very, very precious to him and sacrifice what he loved so much that he could love us. What an example of love. He gave his very best for something as vile, wicked, undone as J.D. Walker, so he could tell me about his love. He said, J.D., they're gone. J.D., they're gone. Shout, J.D., they're gone. Don't worry about it. They're under the blood. They're under the blood. They're under the blood. I can't see through the blood. Someone say amen. Oh, listen to me. Hey, our sins are gone. We ought to be shouting. We ought to be rejoicing in the Lord. We ought to be having the time of our life. Just because we know that, that we're going to leave this world. Oh, but when we leave this world, we can stand in the presence of the Father. Are you with me? Say amen. And we can know the blood of the Son. It's been applied. It's been applied. It's been applied. Somebody say amen. When he looks at me, he won't see the old vile, the old wicked. Ain't no good. He'll only see what the Son paid for. Oh, we ought to be shouting because our sins are gone. Oh, we ought to be celebrating in God. We ought to be excited. Not only that our sins gone, but them shackles. Oh, them shackles that used to hold you down, pinned you down, that the devil had on you. Oh, that every time you thought about doing something, the old devil would say, oh, listen, you remember then, how you remember over yonder, and do you remember this? You ought to be thankful, hey, that your sins are gone and the shackles have been broken by the power and the authority of the Almighty, the great I am. Somebody say amen. Oh, because because our sins are gone and our shackles have been broken. Amen. Ought to be rejoicing because of them stains that we used to carry. I heard Brother Jerry say this morning, and I apologize to him later, amen, that he said, I used to fight chickens. Yeah. Had something that followed him. I used to be a drunk. Don't look at me that way. There's no measurement of sin with God. Don't you think your little sin wasn't as bad as my big sin, okay? Yeah. He said all his sin falls short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no one. He said all your righteousness is that a filthy rag. Somebody say amen. Oh, honey, our sin was just sin. Oh, but you know what? Hey, my sins are gone. My shackles have been broken. And them stains that used to walk around and carry you, that weight that held you down. When people looked at you, they say, yeah, they used to do this. Hey, used to do that. I'm glad I can look. The Father can look at me. And all he sees is the blood. Because the sins are gone. The shackles has been broke. I've been washed whiter than snow. It ain't no more stains. Honey, I've been cleansed by the royal red blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, can I tell you something? Hey, God's people ought to be shouting. Oh, listen. The stain and the shame. Just let me just say that. And the shame that we used to walk around in. Any good to walk around now and know you don't have to worry about it? I've learned people just going to think what they're going to think. Woo! Say amen in here. Oh, listen to me. Let them think what they want to think. I'm going to do my best for God. Someone say amen. I'm doing my best for God. Oh, can I tell you that suffering of the past. How we used to suffer. Hey, because of the things we used to do. Aren't you glad you can get up in the morning? I got this little thing that I do, and most people don't understand it, and it won't be all right with me if you don't. But I get up when I'm at home, which is very seldom. But you know what? I get up in the morning, and the first thing I do when I wake up, honey, I ain't getting out of bed. Now, if you want to set your alarm clock where you got to roll out of bed, get your pants on, and run to get to work, not J.D. You need to set it just a little bit earlier for your Savior. And when you wake up in the morning, you know, before you do anything, bring brush your teeth. Whoop! Say amen. Y'all to roll over and y'all to start beginning to thank God that He's gave you another day. Y'all thank Him for His goodness, His mercy, His grace. You ought to ask Him to let Him put somebody in your way today that you can be a witness and a testimony for. You ought to ask Him, hey, look here, to work through you that you can reach your family and your friends. Someone say amen. Oh, can I tell you, I get up in the morning, I pray, I get up and I open them blinds so I can see out. Somebody, I don't live in town. Hey, I open them blinds. I live back, I told you, way in the mountains. Listen to me. I roll them blinds back and I go in there and I go to that coffee pot. Someone say amen. I don't bother need nobody. I don't need nobody to fix it. When they created, when they created this coffee pot, they created it for man. They made it simple. You raise it up, put it in, mash it down, punch a button, zap. They had man on their mind when they made that thing. Someone say amen. I'm telling you without a shadow of a doubt, hey, I get that cup of coffee and I go back and I get in the bed. You say, oh, preacher, don't tell me what I should do. I got a wife. Someone say amen. You got the Holy Ghost and Debbie. Someone say amen. I tried to be led by the Holy Ghost until she raises her voice. Now I'm a kidding. Someone say amen. Hey, cut it off. Cut it off. Cut it off. I get that cup of coffee. I go back and I crawl in that bed. I got that electric blanket on. Ooh. You say, you need that? Oh, yeah, I'm old. Somebody say amen. Yeah. Get that electric blanket on, and I just sit there. I drink that coffee. I look out them blinds, and I just have me a conversation with God. I just talk to the Lord. You say, well, preacher, I don't do it. That's between you and God. Well, you talk to God. That's between you and God. I just tell you what works for me. Amen. You know why? Because I can rejoice
Why? Because my sins are gone. Are you listening to me? The shackles has been broken. Hey, it's no more stains. It's no more shame. It's no more suffering. Can I tell you, I've been sentenced from death to life. Someone say amen. He said, I'll give you life. Man, I'll give you life more abundantly. Someone say amen. Oh, listen to me. Paul said it like this. He said, brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things behind me and reaching forth to the things before me, I press toward the mark of the prize, the high calling in God in Christ Jesus. Can I tell you, Paul said, listen to me, church, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. He said, don't fret over me. Don't worry over me. He said, I appreciate you being concerned, but he said, serve the one that saved your soul from hell. Get on fire for him and rejoice. Get excited. He said, go out and tell everybody about the one that saved you. He said, but listen to me. He says, I forgot. He said, I forgot about all the regrets in my life. Can I tell you something? Me and you ought to be rejoicing tonight. Hey, because our regrets are under the blood. What was yesterday is dead and gone. Never to be no more on planet earth. It's dead. It's finished. It's done. You know what he said? He said, the regrets don't bother me. He says, I'm looking for the rewards. Can I tell you, we ought to be rejoicing in God. Hey, looking for rewards. Hey, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Are you with me? Say amen. Amen. Why, preacher? Why? I'm glad you asked me. We shouldn't be blinded by the ammunition of the world. Say amen. Amen. Can I tell you what? The world has shut a whole lot of us up. Someone say amen. The world and the things in the world has calmed a whole lot of us down. Look here, don't be worried about the ammunition of the world. Don't be bound by routine. Just get out of the box. Try something different. Hallelujah. We get in the same old rut, doing the same old thing. Someone say amen. Oh, listen to me. Don't be bothered by things that's out of our control. Just serve the Lord. Say amen. You say, preacher, why? Because people, they're in battles. They're burdened. They're bruised. They're betrayed. They're bitter. They're busy. They're broken. Some's in storms, and the storms are raging, and the waves are dancing against them. We need to rejoice, rejoice, rejoice in the Lord. Someone say amen. Why? Because the world is a-watching. I got this, I think, from the pastor. I want to give it to him. Amen. Because it's some standing on the sidelines. You know what they're saying? Saying, are they real? Are they real? Are they real? Somebody's watching you. Somebody's watching me. We may not know it. We may not realize it. We may not understand it, but God's got somebody watching us. They're standing on the sideline and they're saying, are they real? Hey, it's some stalled out. Some's backslid. Some's got out of the church. And you know what they're wondering? Can it be real again? Can it be real again? If they could see some joy in us and some excitement in us and excited for God and rejoicing in Him. That we'd stick out the right hand of fellowship. Let bygones be bygones. Put it under the blood. Hey, put on the whole armor of God and let's go. Someone say amen. Lost sinners are watching. And they are thinking, I need something real. See, they're just like we were at one time. They need something. They're not sure what it is. And we need to be rejoicing so we can be that witness, that testimony. That they could see us. I wrote down here, people want answers, actions, and all occasions. Someone say amen. We should rejoice in Him. We should crave His Word. We should be craving Him, canvassing His Word, and calling on Him because He's coming for us. Amen. Somebody say amen. They're secured. I'm glad today that I'm saved. I'm sealed. I'm served. I'm serving, and I'm secure in the hands of Jesus. He said, no man can pluck me out of my Father's hand. Somebody say amen. You say, preacher, why you should rejoice? I'm going to give you these and we're done. To rejoice, you've got to forget yesterday's failures. Say amen. You've got to be willing to forget yesterday's failure. You've got to be willing to know that by the grace of God, you can't forego today's temptations. You've got to be willing to face tomorrow's obstacles. How you do that? Why? You got to have faith. Someone say amen. Faith enough to make you contend for it. A fire inside you that compels you. A focus that it's worth living for. And a future that's worth pursuing.
He said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe me also. In my Father's house many mansions. Were not so, I would have told you. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive to myself that where I am, JD, there you shall be also. You say, I don't see that in the Bible. Well, you didn't read it when I did. You didn't read it when I did. You ought to put your name there. Because, see, he wrote it specifically for you. How you know you're going to be there? You got to do like this young lady did. You got to see your need. And you got to be willing to let God's will override your will. Paul is in a bad predicament. Could have been whining. Could have been crying. Could have been pleading. But he never got over the place. That place meant so much to him that when he got in a hard place, he couldn't replace that place. Now I want to ask you a question real serious like tonight. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know Him as your Savior? Can I ask you a question? How much you love Him? How much do you really, really love Him? Don't you love Him enough to rejoice in Him? Don't you love Him enough just to praise Him and worship Him? I wonder tonight, how many of us in here are saved? Raise that hand and say, God been good to me. God been good to me. This is what I'm going to ask you to do. If God's been good to you, I'm going to ask you to get up out of them pews. I'm going to ask you to come gather around this altar. This is what I'm going to ask you to do. Why don't you ask God to restore, to replace that joy in your heart, soul, and mind, that you may be everything you can be for Him.